freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Dr. Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live or on the podcast. Either way, it's fine with me. I just appreciate you guys coming out. Hey, it is time to get over to reallibertymedia.com. You know, sign up for an account or just sit and listen. Join the conversation in the chat room. But let's get this conversation going and keep it going. Nothing is going to be truer than what you hear on Real Liberty Media. You're going to have some great information. Today, I'm actually going to kind of take it easy, and I'll explain why in a minute. But there's some dirt and some fun stuff. I hope a lot of fun stuff coming in today's show. At least I think it's fun. I hope you guys enjoy it too. But reallibertymedia.com is where you're going to find the truth. If you're looking for the truth, come to reallibertymedia.com. We are going to be having more shows, more people, more discussions, and we're going to just keep sticking with the truth. Doesn't matter what the mainstream media is saying. We will debunk them too. Most of them, most all the time. Okay. So, I've been putting in these extra Saturdays here and there, and I got to tell you, I'm not crazy about it. So, my regular four-day work week, I know I'm spoiled. And then adding a Saturday kind of really cramping my free time fun style. So, yeah, I won't be doing this again. But it was a special thing. You know, we're doing something special for people who really need some dental care. Hang on one sec. In the state and the county got extra money and tried to encourage people to provide more care. So we all decided we would do, well, four Saturdays, and this was the third one. I have one more on the 23rd. But man, I'm telling you, I've been sleeping good, that's for sure, because it's just been wearing me out. It's a lot of work. Oh my gosh. You know, and I was actually thinking, like 2 days ago, I was actually thinking, you know what? There is no end to this coming. You know, I think I was kind of in some fantasy world a few months ago when I agreed to do these extra root canal patients down in Salem, you know, provide root canal treatment for people who need root canals. Down in Salem, and I got to make sure everything's on. I hate it when I do that in the middle of the show, but yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, so I decided to do some more root canals for people down in Salem, or decided I would provide that care, because apparently there's nobody around to provide that care. So we're doing that like one Monday a month. And I guess at the time I was thinking, you know what I'll do? I'll go down there. They have a list of like 25 people or something like that. I'll go down there and do some root canals and catch that list up. And in the meantime, they'll find somebody else to do that. Because number one, I got to travel to Salem, which is a city that's big enough to be outside of my, I don't want to say comfort level. I don't care to be in big cities. Even medium cities, like small cities, maybe towns, you know, I don't know. I'm talking population differences here, I guess. Let's say 30 to 50,000 people is about my limit. You know, I'd rather be where I live, about 5,000 people. But, you know, occasionally you got to go to the big cities to get stuff, or to a city to get stuff, because, you know, little towns don't have big box stores and discount shopping and blah, blah, blah. So I was thinking I would go down here to Salem, you know, get this list caught up, and, you know, they could move on with whatever, some other solution other than having me go down there and do it. Well, it's never going to end. You know, the whatever time frame you want to put on the, you know, pandemic, let's say. Man, and I'm going to get distracted again. I'll come back to this. But so the pandemic, I see today Oregon gets sent, the CDC sent out some kind of a notice that there are about, let's just say, roughly 15 counties in Oregon that should start wearing masks indoors. And I'm just thinking to myself, nope, nope, nope. We're done with this. Everybody needs to just to stop and buck the system and say no. We are not doing this. Number one, what are they going to do? Like, the defund the police movement has crippled most big cities so poorly that they couldn't even, not that I care, but, you know, they put out these big warning signs about not lighting off fireworks on the 4th of July. And I'm sure everybody was like me and just was like laughing at this stupid, like here we see on local news day after day and national news day after day, or wherever you get your information, and you hear that these, you know, these big cities don't have enough police to actually, you know, save people's lives in some cases. Like Portland police aren't responding to even physical assault unless somebody's already has like a serious injury and they're heading to the hospital. And even then, they don't really have the personnel to do it. So what are they going to do if you don't wear a mask in some store or whatever? And I can't believe here we are 2 years later talking about this again. But I think most of us who know what happened in the last election knew that this was coming, you know, and that there's going to be, you know, another pandemic, another crisis, you know, and we're going to all have to lock down and mask up and, you know, get some other freaking shot I'm sure they're thinking of. But anyway, back to what I was saying, is because of the pandemic, I suppose, because there was a significant restriction to receive medical and dental care for some period of time, everybody's disease progressed significantly in that time period. So my thought of possibly, you know, helping out another clinic, helping them get their root canals treated, and thinking that at some point I was going to kind of honor my own desire and wishes to cut back to maybe 3 days a week or 2 days a week. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because the treatment gets done, I can tell you that. It's going to happen because I say, okay, guess what, y'all? I'm done. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. You're going to have to find other people to do this because, you know, there's a lot of us in this. There's 20% of the population of dentists in the United States that are within 2 years of retirement. And if you don't think we're not going to pull the plug, I got another thing coming for you. I mean, so many healthcare professionals are so tired. I think, number one, tired. Just tired. Like, you know, we've done it 40 years or 30 years or 50 years, whatever. And it's time to do other stuff. I was just thinking this week, man. Like, I have the new drone. It's a DJI Mavic 2. Mavic Air 2 drone. Beautiful, beautiful drone. I cannot wait to fly it. And that's kind of my point. It's like, I have this drone. I've had it for a few days. I haven't even linked it to the controller. I haven't even done the software updates because there's no time. I do this podcast because it's fun. That's one of the things I do for fun. I like flying the drone for fun. I've been doing some videos from the motorcycle, And there's been a learning curve to that too. Like number one, I need a checklist before I actually start. So I make sure that the camera's on, that the mic's plugged in, you know, stuff like that. But I'm getting better at that. And as you can tell, I enjoy doing it. I mean, it's fun for me to do that. But there's 20% of us that are within 2 years of retirement. And I mean, a lot of guys, you know, are just going to say, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and pull out early and kick it at home for a couple years and then retire. Because probably a lot of people have a lot of, you know, stuff taken care of in their lives, whether it's that they're debt free or they have investments that are paying, or, you know, gold or silver or bitcoins or whatever. You know, and they don't have to work. Hell, some giant percentage of the workforce doesn't seem to have to work anymore either. Because a lot of them are not returning to work. And, so it's just kind of pervasive. I'm going to give you another kind of personal example. This is the craziest thing ever. Y'all know, if you've listened to my previous podcast the last month or two, that I tore the meniscus in my left knee. I went and had a contrast imaging done on my left knee, and sure enough, meniscus is torn, right? So being retired military, basically all my medical care is taken care of. I mean, yeah, I have a copay just like everybody else, but I have good insurance. And I'm waiting for the surgery. Like, okay, you know, what's the holdup here? Like, I've done all the stuff, the request was made. What's the holdup with getting this surgery approved? Well, guess what? The insurance company calls back, yesterday or the day before, I can't remember, in the last 2 days anyway. And they said that they couldn't, that I had to fill out this piece of paper to explain what happened because, you know, whenever some other third party is involved, they want to make sure they contact that third party and their insurance before they move forward. There was no third party involved. I literally was standing in my yard, tried to take a step, and my meniscus snapped just like that. I mean, I wasn't even turning funny or pivoting. I was literally standing in one spot, going to take a step forward, and the meniscus snapped. Now, what happened was that some genius in the ER department coded this out as a assault. Like somebody assaulted me. Well, nobody assaulted me. There was no third party involved. But what I'm getting at is, so some idiot who did return to work apparently doesn't know what code to use for a simple injury, or got some notes screwed up. And that kind of is worrisome too, if you think about it. You know, so here I am thinking, okay, I got to go get this knee fixed. And then, you know, I'm kind of like looking at everything. I'm like, holy hell, man. Like, there's people who, I could wake up from surgery and have my shoulder done instead of my freaking knee, although there's safeguards in place for that. But my point is, yeah, maybe some people are entering or returning to the workforce, but good grief, man, it's messed up. Like, if you can't even get, okay, being a dentist, I have to make chart notes also. I'm also responsible for chart notes that my assistants may use a template and put in my notes. Well, it's my responsibility to make sure those notes are accurate. So how in the heck did I go to the ER, explain to them what happened, and, you know, get my, you know, the notes get totally messed up, and, you know, somebody else is involved, and my insurance is being held up, and my surgery is being held up because, you know, some idiot made a stupid note mistake. But it's a mistake. And, you know, I'm thankful for the staff that I have great staff. and that they take care of business and they make sure I'm doing the right thing and that, you know, we're doing things correctly. But man, if I lost a staff member right now for whatever reason and some new person came in, I could imagine, man. I could imagine how screwed up things could get really rapidly. So, yeah, man, keep that in mind as you're going forward with your life doing whatever, that, you know, yeah, there may be people there, you know, by there, I mean, in whatever you're doing, but they may not be doing their job right. And I don't think that's necessarily just from the pandemic and COVID, but I think it's a little more pervasive than it was before. I mean, I can tell you, like TRICARE, which is the insurance that I get for being retired from the military, they've always been awesome, like absolutely awesome. And when we told them that there was no other person involved, like we're on the phone, like, yeah, this is not an assault. Oh, well, you still have to fill out the paperwork. Well, why would I fill out the paperwork for an assault when an assault didn't happen? Well, because, you know, we can't go forward unless you fill out the paperwork. I mean, seriously, like I don't know where some of these rules come from, but those same rules and regulations are what is driving dentists and doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals out of their professions. Because we're tired of stupid stuff. Like I used to say, you know, every time somebody thinks of a new piece of paper they think they'd like you to fill out, like it's always, hey, we're going to study such and such, and we just need you to fill out this one form. It'll take you 60 seconds per patient. Well, guess what? After about 15 of those freaking pieces of paper, well, now you're 15 minutes into an appointment because you got 15 minutes of paperwork to fill out for some idiot master's or PhD, you know, student to do research on. And it's ridiculous. And plus you add in all the legal stuff that you have to do because, you know, somebody screwed up at some point, and now, you know, like safety glasses is a perfect thing. Now, I think safety glasses are a great idea in dentistry, and we use them 100% of the time on our patients. Because somewhere along the way, somebody dropped an instrument and it poked some patient in the eye, and that patient got an infection and lost their eyeball. I'm not kidding. But, you know, so did we have to actually make a law to have patients wear safety glasses and then have to, you know, document that the patient is wearing safety glasses and that you used a certain kind of protection while you were working? I'm telling you, it's so stupid, but, and it just takes away from actually providing care, man. Anyway, my point is, yeah, dentistry is the demand for dentistry is extremely high, and the ability to supply services is very limited. And I am not going to solve that problem. I mean, yeah, not that I thought that I would or could, but I'm going to have to rethink how I'm going to exit this profession, because I can only do so much, and I'm getting to the point where I'm going to have to tap out, it seems like, or really kick back and start doing the stuff that I want to do. So I said I was going to do a lot of kind of fill the show today with more fun stuff. Well, I've been kind of wanting to get back into this one video game that I like to play, and I've been watching this guy do certain videos, and I was like, man, I really want to do that. And I've been on the game and, you know, making some adjustments to the ship that I use, and it's just like, I need more playtime. I really need more playtime. Now, thank God that I have plenty of peace time, like tranquility time. Because I'm blessed, man, to live where I live, and I have a wife and family that does beautiful stuff around the property. The garden is fully planted now. We'll be able to rotate some crops. You know, when some stuff ripens up, we'll have another, you know, another wave of stuff behind that. And we have this beautiful landscaping, you know, that I was talking about even in the last show. I was talking about, I had four snakes within 20 feet of each other. And yeah, you may hate snakes, but for me, in this environment, I love having snakes because it keeps the rodents down. You know, I mean, it's nice to have built an environment where we can have these beneficial critters on our property. I was outside this morning walking the dog before I went to work, and I see this gigantic bat. Oh, no, it was last night before I went to bed. And it was just like, you know, dark, but not completely dark. And the bats come out about that time. And there was the biggest brown bat I've seen here on the property. Now, we see them all the time, you know, well, not when they're hibernating, but, you know, when they come out of hibernation and they start flying around eating mosquitoes, which is why I love bats. Yeah, I see them all the time, but I've never seen one this big. And I was just like, man, we're really getting like a healthy bat population. And yeah, so I'm blessed to live in this house and on this property with a beautiful view, with beautiful landscaping, with beautiful people and family members here around me, that I have great time for, you know, tranquility, some peace. You know, and the other thing is, I look around at some of these plants. I have a bunch of medicinal plants on the property, stuff that I didn't even know of. But I'll see some video about a certain medicinal plant and the purpose of it. And I'll just go ask Rochelle or Crystal, because they're the plant people, Rochelle, my wife, and Crystal, my daughter. And I'll be like, hey, do we have any All Heal here? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of it right out here. Or, you know, do we have any mullein? If you guys watched a year ago when Beth Z told me about mullein, I was like, because I had this chronic cough, and she was saying it was really good for this chronic cough or chronic coughing, you know, and that, well, along with the white pine or sugar pine needles. You know, that it was really good. If you make a tea, it would really help out. And I'm like, okay, well, so I go and ask Crystal and Rochelle, like, do we have mullein on this property? And she was like, oh yeah, there's one out here. I didn't even know it. And then, you know, you find out about it and then you want to cultivate it. You know, you want to continue keeping it. You want to continue keeping it going. So, you know, you kind of find out now I have this plant, because the mullein plant was complete volunteer. It came out of nowhere, and but it came at the right time. And anyway, so I have all of this stuff, man, that's right here. And I want to pull up my notes, because man, I had so many things, like the bats and the snakes, to talk about. Oh, I do want to tell you, this is pretty dang funny. So yesterday, the youngest grandson, Sammy, was given the opportunity to start a small fire in the burn container. Now, I was working, but I heard about this story later. And I actually talked to him to get his version of what happened. But, I mean, he came close to, like, burning the house down. And here's how it happened. So somebody told him, now remember, he's seven. Somebody told him, hey, you could go out and burn these two little boxes in the burn container. And he was like, oh, okay. So he goes out and he lights one of the little boxes and puts it in there and puts the other box in there. And they're about, you know, burning up pretty good. So he starts looking around for more boxes and he finds this gigantic box. and he lights it on fire and then goes to stick it into the burn container, and it's too big. And he's trying to stick it in there, and of course he can't get it in there because it doesn't fit. It's too big, and then he gets burned by it. Well, he started feeling the heat from it, so he jerks it and tosses it, and of course it goes up against something it shouldn't. And that started to melt and catch on fire, and a vacuum cleaner, the shop vac that was out there, started to melt and catch on fire. And, yeah, it was like what should have been just a tiny little thing turned into luckily it didn't turn into a giant thing, but, you know, then he had to kind of think about things, and I kind of had him think about things afterwards and said, hey, so, well, what did you learn from this? Like, what things would you have done differently if you were going to do that again? And it was good to have him kind of think through it, you know, like what he could do to make things not turn out the way they did. You know, he was really apologetic. That's cool. But, I mean, that's kind of scary. He could have burned himself up or burned the house down or set the field on fire or whatever. But he didn't. So that's good. Man, I did want to talk about a couple of crazy political things. If you guys didn't see Biden with that comment that he read, end of quote, and then repeat the last line, oh my God. And if you think that we're in trouble because he's an idiot, then you see Kamala Harris come back like with these completely ridiculous ramblings, just repeating certain words that she thinks that she has to repeat to make a point, and she makes absolutely no point whatsoever. Well, she does make one point, that she's a complete freaking idiot. So we have, you know, idiot number one, you know, reading words that he has no idea what they mean because, and where he is and what he's supposed to be saying because he reads, end of quote, repeat last line. That's scary, man. But that was the best we could do. If you need a reason to stop voting, I think the last election was enough. It's time that we do something different than vote. And I'm not going to make that recommendation right now, but I'm telling you, we got to do something different, man, because what an idiot. Couple of idiots. Oh, we're in good hands. Man, we're in good hands. We have a couple more years with either Biden or Kamala. No matter what happens in November, we have two more years, and the rest of the world is just sitting back laughing. I mean, if half the country is sitting back laughing at these two morons, you bread and circus, yep. You can bet the rest of the world is, you know, anybody thinking about invading another country, hoping that the United States won't do anything, you can bet they're going to be moving fast. Because now is the time, man. The clowns we have in this administration from top to bottom, I don't think there's one of them. I don't think there's one single person in the entire administration that I trust to keep the citizens of the United States safe. Not one. Nope. None. And, you know, Biden was talking about, his whole point was that Roe v. Wade shouldn't have been overturned, that the Supreme Court made a horrible judgment, and they're just politically motivated. They're not paying attention to the law and the Constitution, which I disagree with that statement. But so he was begging women to go to the polls in November, that he thinks that the women in the United States are going to flood the polls, and that you know, they're going to make a statement. But I got news for you, man. They have already made the statement year after year for the past, I don't know, 50 years. And really, that's not true. It's probably been the past 20, 30 years that, and really, maybe the last 5 to 10 years, when some certain undercover work had been done documenting what was going on with these babies and just how late in pregnancy we were killing perfectly healthy babies in perfectly healthy moms, somehow justifying it by saving the mom's life. Yeah, it doesn't fly when you have a perfectly healthy mom and a perfectly healthy baby, and you're killing it anyway. People don't want that. And the problem is, the truth is out. It's out. People know. Everybody knows. Like, this is no secret any longer. But Biden thinks that, you know, the women of the United States are somehow, you know, all of them are upset about the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And I got news for him. That's not even true. Even if the rest of the things that is wrong with the United States right now, inflation, gas prices, food shortages coming our way, even if none of that existed, this still wouldn't be that big of an issue. I mean, if everything else was totally taken care of and this was the only issue, it might get some attention, but it's not going to do the thing. It's not going to swing the next election in their favor. What's going to swing the next election in their favor is big tech still running the world. Elon Musk is pulling out of the Twitter deal, and Twitter's going to sue him, which this is just turning into the greatest circus ever, because I think Elon Musk is way too smart for anybody at Twitter. But this is what happens. So what happened was Elon Musk said, hey, you got to provide us, I need to know what I'm buying. I need to know the value of what I am buying. So you need to tell me how many of these accounts are real and how many of them are fake. And Twitter wouldn't do that. And you know why Twitter wouldn't do that? Because Twitter's been basically the dictator of social media for years now. Dictators don't take orders very well, and they don't like to follow rules very well. You know, rules are what they lay down for others, not what is applied to them. So they're not crazy about, you know, answering to, you know, some request that they provide proof that they have so many actual users versus, you know, robot accounts, bots, and duplicate accounts, and, you know, whatever. And, you know, Elon Musk is just like, hey, I just want to know what I'm buying. Well, he already knows it's not worth the $44 billion that he offered. And Twitter obviously knows that too, which is why they wouldn't release the information. Not only because they're dictators and they don't take kindly to having, you know, rules applied to them or demands made on them, but because they know that, who knows, 40% of the accounts out there are bots. 40% of the accounts are, you know, fictitious, made up, dupes, fake people. But guess what? They're still in business. They're still doing the thing, man. They're still banning people left and right. And, you know, they're still pressing misinformation and then calling the truth misinformation and banning people who tell the truth. That's why I'm not really on Twitter. I do have a Twitter account. Why do I have that Twitter account? I don't know. I guess in some ways you do have to kind of keep your finger on the pulse of things. And besides that, there's some hilarious memes that come out of Twitter. for people who are before they get banned. There's usually some good quips that come in before they get banned. Some pretty damn funny stuff. Where was I going with all this? Oh yeah, just the Twitter ban, man, and Elon Musk pulling out, Twitter suing him. It's going to continue to be entertaining no matter what, because you know that Elon Musk is like steps ahead of Twitter. He's way too smart to get trapped into, you know, something stupid. But anyway, I mean, who knows what's going to happen next. The other thing is, like, for people who were putting all their hope into Elon Musk, I mean, come on now. The dude is busy. He's the richest man in the world. He's not going to save the country of the United States. He's just not. And maybe, like almost by proxy, he might help, because he'll point out, you know, just how ridiculous Twitter is, and just how controlling Twitter is, and how censoring Twitter is, and maybe some good will come out of it. I think in the long run, some good will come out of it. Would have been a hell of a lot more fun to see Musk buy it, and then just, you know, put the brakes on all that censoring that's going on. But, you know, so goes it. I didn't realize that guy has 3 wives and like 10 kids. Did you know that? That's kind of crazy to me. I don't know why, but it's just like, I don't know. It's like, oh, okay, that dude's been busy. I don't know how old his kids are. I just saw that kind of in passing today. And maybe it's true. Maybe it's gossip. I shouldn't really say that, you know, it's something when I don't know that it is. Hey, listen to this. But first, I got to clear my throat. Hang on. Sorry about tapping the mic there so loud. Jeez. Got to be a mute button around here somewhere. Listen to this. It says, California law may backfire terribly as 70,000 independent truckers could be forced out of work, unleashing a devastating supply chain misery. Yeah. Like, we need one more thing to interfere with, you know, supply chain at this point. I'm telling you this. That could be the last straw for me, is the next time, you know, somebody says at work, yeah, there's a shortage of blah, 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 whatever piece of something I need to do dentistry. And I'm in the middle of a procedure and somebody says, oh yeah, there's a shortage of that. We don't have it. Oh my God. I might just take my stuff off and leave right that minute. For several reasons. One is, hey, I've kind of perfected the art of dentistry as much as I can for me. And part of that is the stuff I use. Yeah, I can use other stuff. But for me to perform at my highest level, to provide my patients with the best care I'm possible of providing, I need the stuff that I want to do that. You know, so back in the pandemic when it started, and, you know, masks and gloves were ridiculously short supply, we got just like whatever crap masks and gloves that you could get your hands on. And you could only get like so many per month, like, I don't know, 4 boxes a month. So you could only see so many patients because you only had so many gloves, like 400 gloves. And I mean 4 boxes of each size, so everybody, you know, had their size gloves. But come on, man. And they were sloppy gloves, like they didn't fit like the gloves that I like to wear. The gloves that we order for me because they fit me well. You know, could you imagine somebody, and I'm not saying dentistry is rocket science. It's dentistry. I mean, it's got its, you know, it's got its limited space and, use small instruments in a small space, with the tongue and cheeks and breathing and stuff going on. Can you imagine have like big old sloppy gloves, rubber gloves, latex, well now you can't use latex, vinyl gloves. Yeah. And you're trying to do something very precise and you got a big folded rubber glove in your way. Man, but keep seeing those patients and you do kind of feel obligated to. You know, you do kind of feel obligated to see patients because that's what you do. I mean, look at me. I was like 2 years ago, I was thinking about retiring. A year ago, I was thinking about, well, I'll cut it back to, a couple days a week. And, what did I do? I went the wrong way. I'm going to get back on that track here pretty soon, probably about the time fall rolls around, maybe I'll be getting back on the bandwagon here to start cutting back on my time. Oh, God, but then you have your staff, who's going to have to find work on those days somewhere else. And, it's a hassle. But you know what? I mean, they're going to have to find work anyway, Whether I'm working, a couple days a week or whatever, eventually I'm not going to be there. Somebody else is going to have to do it. Yeah, man, I just had this thought come to my mind. I was like, holy crap, you know what? Like, I really think, I shouldn't do this because that's a bummer. I want to talk about fun stuff. Let's do this. We're going to go to fun stuff now. I just want to bring up some interesting things. God, I wish I could find this one thing. I got to look here real quick and see if I could find this. No, you're not going to play. Nope. Okay, there was this fish, man. It was called the Jell-O fish. And it's under the ice somewhere. Just be patient here a minute. Let me see if I can find this in my notes. I wonder if it's in this one. I'm going to go down here and see. In the meantime, I will sing to you. Oh, here it is. You're lucky. You're lucky I'm not going to sing to you. Where is this damn fish? Oh, here it is. Hang on one sec. Okay. Now, this thing is crazy, so I'm definitely putting a link in the show notes because you have to see this thing to believe it. It is not a jellyfish. It's a Jell-O fish pulled up from the icy depths in Alaska. The gelatinous fish also has a strange suction cup on its belly. Like, I don't know what that's for. Maybe sticking on the side of your aquarium. I'm kidding. No, but this fish is like the craziest thing. It's literally translucent and looks like jelly or Jell-O. Like Jell-O, and it's kind of spotted and stuff. Anyway, it's the craziest thing. Like we haven't seen this before, I guess. Let's see. The odd animal is a blotched snailfish, a seafloor dwelling creature that lives exclusive. Oh, blotched, as in it has spots. A seafloor dwelling creature that lives exclusively in the North Pacific and can survive more than 2,723 feet below the ocean surface. Holy crap, man. Researchers from NOAA stumbled upon this squishy weirdo while trawling off the coast of the Aleutian Islands in Alaska as part of a routine survey of the deep sea ecosystem there on June 19th. The fish body is very gelatinous and felt like holding a lump of Jell-O. This is thought to be an adaptation to maintain neural buoyancy and efficiently swim while coping with the crushing pressure of deep sea. It's kind of funny that they said that because, I remember in high school, we'd study in physics and stuff anyway. And I asked this one teacher. teacher in high school. I was like, hey, so water is heavy. Could you actually go down to a depth where you didn't float anymore? The water would actually hold you down? That's the kind of stuff I thought about in high school. Anyway, the answer is yes. But you wouldn't survive it. I mean, it's a hypothetical because you wouldn't survive the crushing pressure of the water. It would crush your lungs. You know, you wouldn't breathe and stuff. Anyway, so this is, that's a good story. So there'll be a link in the show notes for that. And how about this? Wednesday, a rare super thunder moon is going to rise on Wednesday. That's the, is it the second? It's the second super moon of the year. And let's see, as the sun sets on Wednesday, July 13th, the super moon will rise, shining brighter than many other full moons throughout the year. The upcoming super moon will also be the first full moon of astronomical summer, which started June 21st at 5:13 a.m. Eastern. The term super moon is more than a viral nickname. As the moon orbits Earth, there are periods during which it is closer to the Earth and times when it is farther away. When a full moon coincides with the time when the moon is close to the Earth, it creates a super moon that appears slightly bigger and brighter than normal. So Wednesday morning, well, Wednesday night, keep an eye on the skies, man. And check out the super moon. Super thunder moon. Let's see, does it say why it's called a super thunder moon? Due to the thunderstorms that frequently rumble across North America in July, the month's full moon is sometimes referred to as the thunder moon, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac. Well, there you go. Other full moon nicknames include other full moon nicknames for this moon include the buck moon, the hay moon, the berry moon, the halfway summer moon, and the salmon moon. So it's kind of interesting. So remember, you're going to have a super moon on Wednesday night. You know, go out and check it out. And man, honestly, this is one of my favorite things to do during the summer, especially when it's brutally hot outside during the day, is I like to just kick back, like in a reclining lounge chair, lawn chair, blanket, a cushion, just sit back in the grass and stare up at the sky because there's lots of shooting stars at different times. The Perseids are coming up in August. I'm really excited about that. We always have a sleepover at that time, so that would be cool. But there's always satellites, especially now. I mean, Musk launched, Skynet? I forget. Anyway, well, he launched like 50 satellites. So they'll be streaming across the sky, and you might catch them. And if you've never seen them cross the sky, right, the first couple days after launch, they're all like nose to tail, heading across the sky. It looks like a train flying through the sky. It's awesome. And you can actually go to the website and see where those, you know, when you can see them. So you could kind of time your viewing to catch these things going across the sky. And it's awesome, man. It is crazy to see that happen. SpaceX. Is it SpaceX? Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Let's see. So what meteor showers do we have? We do have the Perseids coming up. That's August 11 and 12. Really, that's the only big one. There is a comet in the sky. What comet was that? That C17K2 Pan-STARRS, it's in the Ophiuchus constellation. Just look it up on the internet and go out and have a look. So far as I know, it's visible in, Oregon and Washington right now. And you can't see with the naked eye, you have to use binoculars. But that's going to be around for a while. It says peak at magnitude 8.4 on 23 January 2023. So this comet's going to be around for a while. And maybe it's going to cause a lot of cataclysmic stuff going on. There's always, it always seems like something crazy goes on when a comet is flying by. Let's see what else we have. I'm glad we found that. I was thinking about just going through my personal email to fill the show today, because I just wanted to kind of keep it light and fun. And I was looking at my email. I was like, nobody wants to hear this stupid stuff. I mean, there's some good stuff in here. No, we're not doing that. Let's see. I did mark a couple things, so. Oh, I kind of wanted to read this story. Oh my gosh. I want to find this one story. Hang on. Oh, God. Good thing I'm not getting paid for talking on the air, because I'd be failing right about now. There was a story about a family who called the police when an 18-year-old man showed up with flowers asking for their daughter, who he had a internet relationship with for, I don't know how long, but for a while. Can you imagine that? Like, your 18-year-old dude shows up to, you know, pick up your daughter who's 10. That would be kind of terrifying. Yeah, I don't know. Let's see what else is going on. What else do I have on the judge sides with parents, strikes down Los Angeles school vaccine mandate. Well, that's good. Oh, I'll tell you guys, let's end on a terrible note. Nope, let's not. How many minutes I have? I probably have a few. Let me check. Oh, we got a ton of time here. Let's see. What is on here? Nope, that doesn't sound interesting. Oh, what explains a disappearing American? Well, I'll give you a couple ideas. What is this? Oh, the fish. Let's see, I talked about the fish. I talked about the snakes. I talked about, like, eating mosquitoes. Working Saturdays, meteor showers, supermoon, burning down the house. Oh, bat houses. So this is kind of some. When I was talking about the bats, now this is funny. So I try to create, I've tried a few times putting bat houses up. And I've had a tiny bit of success. Like, there might be one or two bats in these bat houses, but they're not, like, really popular. And I don't know what I'm doing wrong, if I'm doing anything wrong. Like, I'd like to have more bats, but you know how nature is. Nature, like, finds the balance, right? So there's probably just the right amount of bats for this area. While I would like to have a ton more bats and create a bunch of bat guano to use as fertilizer in the garden and such, well, maybe we have all the bats we need. And the reason I'm saying that is because, like, if you look at my property, which once I get the new drone up, I will film how much forest is around this property, or how much tree coverage we have. And bats love trees, by the way. There's nice little nooks for bats to get in. My wife was sitting down one time. We were elk hunting. We bow hunt. And back in the day, we were bow hunting kind of close together. And we'd sat down for the evening to kind of catch some elk coming along this trail. And she likes to kind of spread out her stuff in her pack, like, you know, like stuff to eat and stuff to read, and, you know, just kind of make her little spot homey. And so she had pulled up next to a stump and was laying out her gear, like she gets her knife out in a certain place and has her bow set in a certain place and her arrows in a certain place. And then, you know, like snacks and drink and whatever. So she's pretty comfortable, right? But she notices, like, in a little tiny area of this stump where the bark was peeled back a little bit, there was a bat, like, just tucked in there, just chilling in the stump. You know, it didn't really freak her out because, you know, she's a country girl. Stuff like that doesn't freak her out. But yeah, so bats live naturally here in nature, you know, and I guess one of my things was I always wanted to create an environment where the bats wanted to come and stay in my barn or stay in my implement building or hang out in the, you know, the local bat house. And I really haven't had that much luck. But I came across some plans to make a large bat house. And it takes one sheet of plywood or half a sheet of plywood, I can't remember, but either half or a whole sheet of plywood. And that's what I'm going to do. I think before fall comes this year, I'm going to build this bat house or have somebody build this bat house. And we're going to try that out because, well, number one, the other bat houses that I've put up have actually pretty much started deteriorating. So, yeah, it should be interesting to see how that goes. I love bats, love snakes. You know, any of those beneficial critters that kind of help us out, I'm for, all for making them more environment to live in. Let's see what else I could get into. Well, I know one thing. I could look at some of these articles. Let's see. Oh, I had the greatest guy in the other day in the office. He was an ex-Vietnam vet. An old Marine, and we were kind of talking about that, you know, and he was talking about his history a little bit. He was a really nice man. It was really fun to talk to him. And when he first came back from Vietnam, he didn't feel comfortable here, like a lot of guys didn't feel comfortable coming back from Vietnam. So he went back because he volunteered to go back on another tour to Vietnam. Anyway, when he finally finished, he started working in the forest here, you know, in Oregon. I had to ask him how long he had lived here, and he was telling me. And anyway, so we were talking about like how many trees there are in Oregon, and there's far more trees now than there have ever been in Oregon because, you know, loggers figured out a long time ago that if they get rid of all of the timber, they no longer have a job. So, you know, decades ago, loggers figured out that they need to replant the areas where they cut timber out of. And yeah, if you lived in the Pacific Northwest and some other states that have old growth forests, you hear this argument all the time that, oh, the loggers have destroyed the old growth forest. Okay, so what? I mean, yeah, they're beautiful. They are beautiful. They're gorgeous trees. Some of the old growth forests that you see, old Douglas firs and old sequoias, redwoods, they're beautiful trees. But that doesn't mean that they need to just remain there doing nothing. I mean, it's a natural resource that we could harvest. And I don't think it's a really good idea necessarily to harvest all of them now, especially that we have technology where we can preserve some of that old growth forest and use forests like a crop, like wheat or like cotton or like, you know, potatoes or sunflowers or any of those things. You know, you use it and you replace it, replenish it, replant it. You keep it going so that you continue to have a job if you're in the logging industry. Well, this old guy was telling me, you know, we were talking about the government, how messed up they were. Oh, that's all the time we have. I'll carry it on next time. Hey, thanks you guys for joining me.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dennis Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.